Hello and welcome to another edition of the Casual and the Diehards podcast. My name's Eric Jensen. Thank you very much for checking back in on this feed. Of course, End Zone Pod on its yearly month of May break. I am happy to be talking with all three of my good friends, Ethan Pierce, Audrey, and Aramis Hicks, joining me today. What a lovely day it is to see all you fine folks. Thank you for getting me out of the doldrums, because I am a crazy person. And even though I was like, oh, it'll be nice to take a break from podcasting, it's been exactly 2 weeks since the last time I podcasted, and I have an insatiable itch to talk. So here we are. The NBA playoffs are underway. We're in the second round. Pretty much all these series are very tight. A solid amount to talk about. So without further ado, I want to go around. I will say, I've been talking some shit on these playoffs because it does feel like, even though these series are like very tight wins and losses wise, like, I don't know, you guys have watched way more than me, but is it fair to say that it feels like all of these, like, we get to the fourth quarter and it seems like one of these teams is always up by like 15 points going into the fourth quarter? Like, it, like, give me a buzzer beater here or there, you know? Like, it's not.
You haven't been watching the Knicks, apparently.
Yeah, cause you haven't been watching any basketball except for tonight, have you? Because holy shit, like, tonight were like some of the only blowouts. We've had so many close games.
We've had some
so
close
many
ones.
Down to the wires.
The
literal
Knicks,
actual
every
buzzer beater.
Every
multiple
game,
buzzer
except
beaters.
Except for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake fan. The casual, yep. As always. Welcome back.
The Mavs-Thunder series has been good. That's been close.
It's been wonderful. Well, Eric's sworn off the NBA. He's announced on Twitter. I'm sure everyone
let
can
me,
see Eric's Twitter.
Audrey, Ethan, let me let y'all know what the problem with that is. Me and him caught the fourth quarter of that Mavs game yesterday. We was there watching it the whole time. He's like, I don't know, man. It's just not giving me the vibes that I need. I don't know what he on, man.
That was a four-point win. To go up 2-1 by the Dallas Mavericks. Not close enough for Eric Jensen.
A very close game.
I guess that's fair. I'm just, maybe I'm just a hater.
All the pieces are coming together.
Let's start with that, though. Let's start with Mavericks, Thunder. And I guess my first question is, wow, like, feels like... just from, you know, purely box score watching scenario, which is how I like to consume the NBA these days. PJ Washington's pretty goated, huh? He's just be the leading scorer literally every single night. That's how this is working
out.
Well,
if he's going to shoot 70% from three every single night, then good things are going to happen. That dude's sniping.
So has he's been, like, who's been the best player in that series for the Mavericks then?
Honestly, it's probably been PJ Washington. Luka looks a little injured. Kyrie's been good, but not incredible. PJ's been the X factor, and that's why they're up 2-1. So,
I think Kyrie's been great, but very inconsistent. Yeah, I think I would like widen those parameters a little bit.
Aramis, we watched the end of that game yesterday. I will say it is just crazy that Kyrie is still this good.
I mean, he finally got his health together. Finally, people ain't coming at. Finally, he's not in the media for doing no extra shit. So, I mean, that's been the key since the first round against the Clippers. I mean, all season really for them, man. We talked about that last pod. So, I mean, he got his shit together this season. So now we're just excited to see him hoop and do all that crazy shit that Kyrie's known for.
Yeah, it's interesting. This feels like kind of a second surge to Kyrie's career almost, because it feels like he's kind of been out of the spotlight a lot. Even like in Brooklyn, he kind of just got hurt in those playoffs, and obviously that team didn't really work out. And so we haven't really seen him playing on a team this good at this level in quite a while. So it's nice of him to remind all of us that he's still a very good player.
Oh man, it's beautiful to watch. Beautiful to watch all that hang time, 15 minutes in the air. four defenders trying to block his shot, still lays it up in there, man. And incredible ball.
Been doing it for years and still got it.
The Thunder, on the other hand, have played a solid series. These, I will admit that this series has been close. I've been watching this one, but the takeaway for me is that they've got a lot of good players on the squad, and it feels like Shea had a really good first round, but it feels like he's even kind of taking a back seat here these first three games, and maybe they need him to step up more in game four to even things out. But like they're still playing in pretty close games, and like Jaden Williams and this Wiggins guy, he's even contributing a solid amount, and it's fun to watch Chet Holmgren play. And I'm so interested to see the trajectory of his career, because he's still just this skinny white dude, but he is absolutely destroying in these playoffs and playing pretty well. Audrey, your thoughts right now on the Thunder and how they can get back in this series tomorrow and even things up?
I mean, I don't know, the Thunder's, I think, best ability and also biggest drawback in these playoffs is their youth and inexperience. I think they have endless energy and the ability to run, but it's going to be about if they can get the mental together for another win. I agree that Shea is due for a big one. I think, I mean, like you said, Chet is a big skinny white guy, but damn, he can play some basketball, and it's really fun to watch. I don't know. I have OKC in seven in this series. In my pre-playoffs bracket, I have this lineup and these teams taking it all the way. So I genuinely don't know. It can go anyway at this point. I love this series. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think this is cool because this is like a good first test for OKC, because we haven't really seen them in this playoff setting before. You know, they made the play-in last year, and then the first round against an injured Pelicans team, it was a pretty easy sweep. So Dallas is a really good team. You know, this is a matchup of two high-level basketball teams in the Western Conference right now. Either of them could make the NBA Finals, and it wouldn't be too surprising, right? So this is a good first test. Now, being down 2-1, needing to play in Dallas for game four, I'm interested to see what this OKC team is made of, because we haven't really seen it. And I'm excited to see them step up to the plate and take this challenge.
Yeah. Let me ask both of y'all, actually, cause I was kind of wondering about it in that little fourth quarter. It feels like, not to say he was shying away, but it just, what, the ball wasn't flowing through him. It was a whole lot of J-Dub and a whole lot of Chet, it felt like, during this last fourth quarter. Do you think it got to be, I don't know, more on Shea's part or more on the Thunder's offensive game plan to get Shea the ball more and, like, have him, you know, try to make things happen for him? Or you think that's just – or you think they just got to keep rolling through with how they've been going this playoffs with their – what they've been executing the offense?
They've got a lot of, like, playmakers and – high quality players. Like, this is a really deep team, so I think they just want to stick with the flow of the game. And if that means that we need Shea to take 15 shots in the fourth quarter and go take over and win us this game, then that's what it's going to be. But sometimes I think you do need J-Dub to be that dude, and you need Chet to, you know, make some threes and protect the rim and all that stuff. So OKC's strength is their depth. That's why they're here. And so I don't necessarily feel like they need to just, like, say, hey, Shea, just go win us this game. But I think that there will be a moment in this playoffs where he's going to have to do that. That might not necessarily be in the next game or in game seven if this goes that far. But I think.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you're right. The Thunder do play a very deep roster, but I think it's less about, like, winning a game in that you score, you know, you drop like 55 points, but it's making shots in crucial moments and being able to hit those big jumpers in the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of close games. That's where Shea is being expected to step up, less so than trying to pull a James Harden type feat and try to just outscore the other team, hoping that it would work.
Where are we at? I know Audrey had said Thunder in seven, but I'll let Ethan and Aramis, you guys kind of take another shot at predicting where this series go when we get together in another week or two. Where how do you think this thing finishes up?
Yeah, I think this is trending Dallas right now. You know, they've won the last two games, and I think the Mavericks are really good. Luka's starting to look a little more healthy. You've got Kyrie playing. I think he has another level to go to, and I think he's been pretty solid, inconsistent, like Audrey said, but still solid in most moments. So I've just got the Mavericks playing well right now. I think I'm going to take Dallas in six at this point, but I wouldn't rule anything out here.
Yeah, I'm going to be preaching pretty much the same sentiments as Ethan. Dallas in six, like I said. I mean, Luka got his ass whooped in this last game. Mind y'all, he bust, like, he got dropped a couple good times. Maybe that will really slow, maybe that will affect him a lot more than we've seen recently, because feels like he got beat up a lot more in that last game in particular. But yeah, Dallas in six.
I still lean with Audrey. I think the Thunder do come back here, and I think this is a seven-game series that they end up winning. But I think it'll be interesting to see the way the rest of it plays out, because I do just think there's some more twists and turns. And ultimately, I think OKC wins tomorrow, and this series gets back to back and forth home court advantage for the rest of the way. Moving on to the other series that took place yesterday, the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And here's my question for all of you, as someone on the outside who's watching this as a casual basketball observer and obtaining his media from various ESPN podcasts. It seems like people, whenever the Celtics lose, get super down on the Celtics. But I kind of think that's not really the way to think about it, because yes, they do seem to struggle for one game a series. They do have games where they just don't show up. But I just like to point out with that theory that I think a lot of NBA media personalities right now have, like, to lose a series, you have to lose four games. And they have not proven at any point this year they fall into doldrums enough to lose more than one or two in a row. And I just don't see the reason to be worried. So what if you have one bad game a series? You're just going to win that series in five games. I don't really understand the concern with them. I'm wondering what you guys see with that kind of thinking.
I mean, the Celtics are the Lakers. So every time they lose, you know, lose any kind of game, let alone one where they look bad or their stars don't show up, with the pressure of not having a ring with Tatum and Brown, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's big market. It's the playoffs. I think they're always going to overreact about it. And I don't know, because this Cavs team some nights looks like an unstoppable, great basketball team. Like, it looks like on paper, and they look fantastic. But then some nights they can't buy a bucket. They score 90 points in a loss. Like, it's just, it's so hot and cold with the Cavs.
Yeah, I think with Boston, it's just interesting. I think it's because of the way that they lose that people freak out sometimes, including me, because it seems like when they lose these games, it's like they just look horrible, like, down the stretch. It's like they're spamming three-pointers, nothing's going in, nobody can drive. They just want to – Tatum does his stupid step-back three that he never hits, but he loves to take it still. And they just – they look too prone to what I call pants-shitting ball to win the NBA title. They just look like they have shit trickling down their leg that they can't buy a bucket. They don't know where to go on defense. And that's what lost them the finals against the Warriors a couple years ago, right? And that's what lost them the series against the Heat last season. So if that happens to them again, you know, two times is a pattern, three times is a pattern, right? So the sun's getting real low with this Celtics team is what I'm trying to say. And they have a path clear for them to make it out of the East, right? All due respect to the Knicks and to the Pacers and everybody else in that conference, right? But the path is clear for Boston to win this series against the Cavs, get to the NBA Finals. But when you run up against a really good Western Conference team, because all four of those teams left in the West are really, really good, and whoever makes it out of the conference is going to give Boston a really hard time, in my opinion. I just think that they're not going to know how to deal with the way they play ball in the West. They're going to look shaken by the big stage, and I don't think it's going to go well for them. So I just can't see them getting it together enough to break their habits that they've shown for the last five seasons with this core. I'm just out on that team.
Yeah, pants shitting basketball is a nice way to sum it up, man. For me, it's like fatigue. I've seen these motherfuckers. I've been a little Miami fan. I've been scared that they're gonna do shit, and then I've seen them, like you said, shit the bed way too many times. Right? It's just now. Is it like they have to prove it? They're already inevitable. They're already an amazing team. They always make it to the playoffs, and then they always decide to fuck off on their opponents and then quit midway through, or something stupid, or JT with them threes, Jaylen Brown still can't dribble left, something stupid like that happens and pops up. So they just win, just do what everybody thinks you're gonna do and win, and then we won't have no problems, bro. But that's my thing with them, man. I'm just win to get out my face with that shit.
All right, just win for my boy Jason Tatum, who feels like, honestly, one of the most hated on NBA players in the entire league at this point. But, I mean, I guess, good for them. They have a point. He hasn't won anything yet, and he does seem to miss shots in the playoffs. But I'm pulling for him. I'm hoping he gets it together. But We're not worried about this series, right? Like we're all pretty uniform here that the Celtics are going to win this in five, if not six.
They should. They absolutely should. But they could have another game where they look like they did in game two. You just never know.
Agreed.
Yeah, I got them going to the finals, but I believe at any point in time they could just fuck off. So it's just gonna be one of the things where we gotta wait and see.
All right. Let's go to Knicks Pacers, which was a blowout today. And yes, this series has been close. That is true. I do remember game one.
Until today.
Until today. I'm kind of worried about the Knicks. Like, this just feels like a classic, like, Knicks, like, Tom Thibodeau played his guys too hard, too long. Like, the regular season's catching up to him. Now they're all injured. The depth's gone. Like, luckily, game five's in the Garden, and that's a huge advantage. But, man, if I were a Knicks fan, I'd be pretty worried going into game five.
I'm not going to hold you, Eric. That's been my little worry ever since, like, since the beginning of the playoffs, actually. I figured the Knicks will be fine, you know, a couple rounds. They have amazing players, amazing talent, all that good stuff, right? I remember D-Rose and them Bulls, man, and how gassed they was by that second or third round, man. They was dying. And unfortunately, that's what I'm afraid of for them. Tom Thibodeau likes to play his people. Everybody knows it. Likes to run them boys ragged, and I think they're just going to run out of gas, man. It's just might be a matter of – I mean, like I said, Josh Hart, been playing 48 minutes, been playing every game from bell to bell. So I don't know. Maybe they're superhuman. Maybe they got Michael Jordan's secret stuff from Space Jam going to help them get past the finish line. But like, I think the fatigue is going to set in for them, man. And that's really my only worry with this Knicks versus Pacers series.
Hey, they all got to rest today. They all got to rest the whole
yes,
second half.
Yes, they did. Ooh, yes, they did. God damn.
Oh man, that was a blowout. I think you got a point, Aramis. You know, they are running out of bodies, right? They lost Utah Jazz legend Bojan Bogdanović for the season. They've lost Julius Randle's been out for the whole playoffs. You know, Jalen Brunson's banged up. Everybody's, you know, got something wrong with their foot or their ankle or their knee or whatever. So they're running out of players. But I'm not writing them off in this series. It's 2-2, three-game best of three. This could go either way. I could absolutely see this going either way. And if we can see Brunson hopefully heal up from that foot injury and go back to that Superman level that we've seen him hit in these playoffs, they could beat anybody.
You know, we've had many series both this year and in the history of the NBA where it really is just a battle of who has the home court at that exact moment. And it's really funny to see the two teams, both with incredible home court environments, be the Knicks in Madison Square Garden and the Indiana Pacers. It really just warms my heart. It's two very different types of very rowdy, loyal, loving crowds. And it's been so much fun. I love this series. But yeah, OG Anunoby being out, you can really see his impact immediately and brutally when he's not in the game. So I think his health will decide this series for the Knicks.
The Pacers, Aramis, like what have you seen from them these past two games?
I ain't gonna hold you, man. You asking the wrong person, man. I ain't been seeing much from them, bro. I ain't been tapped in like I should have been with the Pacers. I just been watch scoring like you, bro. So Ethan, Audrey, please.
They've been hitting every shot today. They be hitting TJ McConnell. Everybody's just spamming that three-pointer, and it's going in every single time. They toughened up. You know, like Audrey was talking about, they got a great home crowd. The energy is always behind them in that building. And I think we saw Tyrese Haliburton get a little more aggressive with his scoring, which was a big kind of talking point for him in the first couple of games. And really for the second half of the season, since he had that hamstring injury, it doesn't seem like he's quite been the same player as we saw in the first half of the year, but he's kind of hit another level in these last two games at home, starting to be more aggressive, looks more comfortable in the series. So I think if you keep him playing well, they're going to win this series.
Yeah. I'm on the Pacers train. I like the Knicks a lot, but the injuries just scare me off. And the fact they're just down to basically the Nova guys is kind of frightening. Like, you can only hope Jalen Brunson carries you for so long and hope Dante is hitting all those shots for so long. I worry about the depth. I worry about a lot of different things with them. And I think they're if they play the Celtics at this point, they are toast, because it's just they don't have the depth and the guns to keep up with them, no matter what we think about the Celtics. But yeah, no, I'm leaning more Pacers right now. I do think this goes a full seven games, but I'm leaning Pacers in seven. Do you guys have any other thoughts on that prediction?
I'm just shocked that the guy for rooting for the Jazz would root for Jazz East. Yeah, I'm hoping the Pacers can make it, man. Tyrese getting healthy at the right time hopefully helps him pull past the finish line. So I think it'd just be fun to see the Pacers versus Celtics, man. God bless them, man.
It would be. That would be a fun series. And I think it will happen, too. I've got the Pacers winning this one as well. I think that they've just got more horses in this race at the moment, and I'll take them in. It's tough to see them going into the Garden in Game 7, though. It is. I think they might have to do it in 6.
I think if we get a Pacers Nuggets final, Adam Silver is going to throw himself off the Empire State Building.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, it'll be great.
He's going to cry. In sure a year that the basketball. New York Knicks are good at basketball, if two small market teams make the finals 2 years in a row, he's going to be so fucking mad.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great.
We need a fly in the wall for that call to ESPN. Like, please just talk about Tyrese a little bit more. Please. Please,
you gotta stop talking about LeBron. We can't do this. He didn't even make it out the first round.
Please.
Finally, Nuggets, Timberwolves. Okay, I'll just ask this: the Timberwolves had this thing. They did. They won both the games in Denver, and then I don't know. I get it's a long series. I get there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but like it feels like we just choked this series away, if we're being honest. Like, you had to win one game at home. That's literally it. Like, if they would have finished this stretch up and been 3-1, I would have been like, okay, maybe Denver wins game 5. But they go back to Minnesota, it's over. But
Anthony
now,
Edwards.
Like,
feasts on the sorrows of opposing teams' fans. That's why. He needs that. He needs that
he needs
to
that
win.
Energy. It's like Jordan Poole with the baddies courtside. Anthony Edwards needs to be booed.
Yeah.
To pop off.
It's the vitriolic hatred of a random city. That's what he needs.
He loves
he
that.
Really
he's
Michael
he's
Jordan,
MJ.
Son. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. He lives it.
So you're of the opinion, Audrey, that he's going to take over game five?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he absolutely kicked the hell out of the Suns and got Frank Vogel and an entire small village worth of assistant coaches fired from the Suns. So, yeah, I think so.
For Coach
yeah.
Bud, let's go.
Yeah, Coach Bud and a fleet of pre-recruited loyal admirals to serve by his side and carry out his every order, his every wish and command.
KD's favorite coach coming in.
KD's nuts in my mouth. We're not going to win a fucking chip and we're going to be so broke for like 10 years.
KD's coming back to the Dubs with LeBron. Oh, one last God. Ride, baby.
I will. I saw that. I will one call in. Ride. I will call in a threat, a credible threat, to an unnamed location if that happens.
Let's go.
Oh my God! The hardest can I be room.
Can I be vulnerable with y'all three for a second?
Of
for
course.
A quick second. So like we all know, I've had hatred for this Minnesota Timberwolves team the last couple of years, as long as we've talked about basketball here. don't fucking like them. Never liked them. Liked Anthony Edwards. That's it. That made me a believer, man. I was like, oh, man, they killed Denver at home two games? I mean, of course the defending champs could take a game at their home, but they got this game. I tuned in. And, like, oh, you know what? Gobert really deserved DPOY. Sorry, Audrey. You know, he did a good job. Cat finally getting the shit together, holding each other accountable. Yay. Every time they went on a run, Tweedledee or Tweedledum did some silly shit to help. Fucking keep Denver afloat. Like I was just like flabbergasted by like, oh, Gobert foul, Gobert and nobody by the rim, the big stretch that I get that's what Denver does. There was just too many holes that the Timberwolves had to plug, despite Ant dropping 44 goddamn points on these Nuggets, man. And it just felt like all of their problems came from those two. Like, God bless Cat. You can't be shooting 19 shots for 13 points, brother. That cannot happen. Like, no.
Yeah.
God true. Bless Gobert. You can't just be doing silly, dumb fouls or like,
we're trying to help each other up off the ground and then both ending up back on the ground.
Yeah.
But they scissored each other. Y'all saw, they scissored each other. Oh my God. That's the encapsulation.
That was incredible.
Of this game. I saw that. I'm like, yep, that's why they lost. Those two right there. That right there is why they
lost. You guys know the dragon meme where it's like the two fierce-looking dragons and then the third one's got a goofy, like, smile with his tongue out? I saw somebody caption that. It says, Karl Anthony Towns in any given playoff series. It could not be more accurate because he's the type of guy, kind of like the Boston Celtics, actually. Sometimes he looks great. Ooh. And then every so often, he just looks like he's Paul Pearson it up and walking off the thing in a wheelchair, and he can't get his stuff together. So sometimes that extends to the entire Minnesota roster outside of Anthony Edwards.
He just looks so tired at the end of that game. Just defeated.
I don't know, man. This is a series. Like, when I wish that we had recorded last week, because when Denver went up 2-0, when the Wolves went up 2-0 and everyone's kind of putting sand on the Nuggets and burying them already, you can't underestimate the champs like that, bro. Like, people on Twitter were acting like the Wolves had already advanced, and it's not over till it's over. You got to win four. You know what I'm saying? You got to win four. And this is anybody's series right now.
Yeah, this feels like the one that's for most of a toss-up. I lean Denver. Still, though, I lean Denver in seven. I think Jokic is really gonna turn it on these next three games, and they'll get to the West Conference Finals, and then, I mean, depending on who they play, it feels like this to me. Like this is like who's going to the finals from the West. Like, if Minnesota gets past them, I feel like they match up well with both the Mavs and the Thunder, and I feel the same way about the Nuggets. So this is, I think, the biggest series of the playoffs thus far.
It does kind of feel that way.
I can get on board with that for sure.
Yeah, I think that every team in the West could make the finals. That's my take right now. But the Nuggets look like champs again. Is I think the big takeaway from the last couple of games is they look like they've hit that gear. Because even in the first round against the Lakers, even though it was a five-game series, The Nuggets had points where it looked shaky, right? Where the Lakers were kind of giving it to them and up 15, whatever. But Jamal Murray came up clutch and they won. You know, you saw that championship DNA down the stretch of those close games. And the Wolves looked like they had taken that away from them with their great defensive game plan. You got Gobert balling out there, swatting everybody's shots. You got Anthony Edwards popping off 50, whatever points. But these last couple of games, the Nuggets have turned the dial back and looked like the team that won the title last year. And that's what should scare every person living in Minnesota because it's tough to beat.
All right. For draft lottery, we'll touch on that. Then we'll get out of here because I know we all have work in the morning. I guess I'm just like, today was a really depressing day for me personally, like as a human, because it's like, truly, like, what is the point for the Utah Jazz? Like, no big name free agent will
Let's
literally.
go. He's broken. Let's go.
Literally ever
That was
sign
so
here.
sad that I forgot you were talking about the draft lottery for just a second until you said Jazz. And I was like, oh my God. I thought he was like, damn, I thought we were like really getting vulnerable with it. But no, you're talking about the Jazz losing the draft lottery again.
Yeah, I mean,
Hey man, at
it's
least they
just
kept the
like,
pick. You didn't hit the like 0.6% that they would have to give it up.
yeah, but they hit the 0.6%, but it was going to be the 10th overall pick. Like, the worst possible outcome. It's like, it's just typical Utah Jazz luck. Like, it just sucks. Cause,
Not
like,
a very good draft, if that makes you feel better.
I mean, that's
The
true,
guy you're
but
getting at
like,
10 is probably just as good as the guy you would have got at
yeah, for real.
7.
Like, actually, like,
But,
this is the kind of draft
like,
where, like, the number 45th, like, overall pick that, like, Adam Silver, like, mispronounces his name is going to be, like, MVP in, like, 7 years. You never know.
yeah, he's going to be
It's
drafted during
just,
a Taco Bell commercial.
yeah. And then they'll let him cook in Serbia for a couple of years, and then he'll come
Yep.
over to the US and win you a chip. Maybe two.
Personally, Eric, I think Zach Edey and Rob Dillingham, one of the two, is gonna
Dude,
love it here in Utah. Like if it's my personal
if
opinion.
they draft Zach Edey, that's going to make me really, really,
They wouldn't dare.
really
Not top
angry.
10, my boy. No,
Very, very, very angry.
they're even better, Eric. They're trading down to 25 to get him.
Oh, great.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic. It's like, why care about the NBA? To be completely honest with you,
Oh my
like,
God, dude.
number one, the Jazz will, even if Danny Ainge goes, quote unquote, I'm going big game hunting this summer. Okay, go ahead and trade for Devin Booker. He'll walk in 2 years. Like, he'll never
Won't come to
re.
Utah in the first
No
place.
No,
fucking
no,
way,
no, no,
bro. No
no. He
way.
will never sign here. Literally, no one will ever want. Remove a no trade clause to be traded here. Like, no one wants to play here. No one wants to be here. They don't give us good draft picks. Like, what the hell are we supposed to do? And then
You're supposed to move to the PNW and become a Supersonics fan.
and then
Yep.
they'll just fucking roll out the same bullshit next year and they'll say, hey, we're trying to be competitive. And then they'll win 35 games and they'll have the 10th overall pick again. And it's like, fucking, if you want to be shit, trade Lori, make the team actually bad, and then it's just,
Hey, Eric, I
it's
know you're
just
going through it.
bullshit.
Hey, Eric, I
You're staying.
exercise to help you feel better, buddy. Here's this. What do they do to actually do something right? You know, like how can they appease you, almighty Jazz fan?
Get the number one over, get a top three pick.
Nah, bro. You just looking to shit down your own franchise's neck, bro. Take that to yourself, bro. Nah, bro. They go do their own bullshit. They gonna take some Nuggets players that end up being Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and some wacky
Look,
shit like that, and they're gonna be all right, man. You're gonna be fine.
I think Eric is objectively right on just about all those points. I also think the Jazz are a poverty franchise. Both of these things can be true at once.
Sadly, poverty.
Poverty franchise.
It is a poverty franchise. It's true. I mean, and people like to come after me. They say, oh, you're not a tortured fan. Yes, I am. I'm a tortured fan. Like,
People like to come after me. They say, you're a tortured fan. Sorry. Sorry.
They
I need
say
to
you're
stop.
so tortured.
You're so There's never been a team more tortured than the
They're trying to
Jazz.
silence
Oh my
you.
God.
Oh my God.
It's just
Average Jazz fans politics too.
It's absolutely
this is
it's
off the rails, man. Hey, Hawks
brutal.
Got number one. How do you feel about that, Eric?
I mean, cool, good for them. I guess Alex Saar, like, good, like, get a French guy, like, good for you, man.
Get a tall French guy. It's probably good.
Spurs got 4-8.
Yes, sir. Raptors fell out. That was surprising.
Not after this last week of stuff, Ethan.
Hey, I mean,
I'm not gonna hold you. Not after this last week, it's not surprising Toronto's losing some steam.
I just honestly, at this point in my life, all I want is for them to draft Dalton Connect. Like, just give me a cold ass white boy to root for. Like, that's like,
all right,
that is the range. That's right, crazy. There. They could take him.
That's kind of like, fucking nuts.
Like, Dalton Connect or, you know, Kenny Dillingham or, give me,
Nikola Topic. Nikola Itch. It always works out.
Yeah.
Isaiah Collier, maybe? Every time, it's good.
Just draft someone cool that scores points.
I know someone cool that scores points.
The Warriors didn't jump up, man. Shit. That 3.4% chance was looking me in the face. like the Green Goblin on my shoulder. Like, we're gonna get top four. We're drafting
poverty.
Alex Saar.
Poverty franchise rooting on the nation of Serbia.
Yeah. All right. That's it for me. I don't have anything else to say about the NBA. Any other grand points?
Yeah, I think you don't have anything left in the tank.
He's out.
Do you guys
he's
think?
Out of takes.
You guys think Bronny will be available at number 10? Just out of curiosity, like, you think he's such a
talented bro? This is the one team that LeBron will not come to. Every other team, he says, "My son, I want to play with him so bad." He gets drafted by the Utah team. Well, you know, never mind. I don't. Maybe, you know, maybe I'd rather just.
D-Wade's like, "Oh my God, LeBron, wait, I'm a part owner here. This will be so cool. We'll be back together again." And he's like, "No, man, it's all right."
He's not picking up the phone.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to the Warriors with KD.
If they can get both of the LeBron kids and they can sign them the Scottie Pippen contracts, I think they might have a shot at LeBron when he's 49 or something like that.
Yeah, bro. Once Bryce comes out in 5 years.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be game over.
Yes.
They're going to have
the
Bronny
Jazz
telling.
Be no longer poverty.
Yeah.
Nope.
Bronny will be going door to door selling home security. It's going
to
be great.
They'll have to change the name. Instead of Larry H. Miller, it's going to be Bronny James Otto.
Incredible.
Karl Malone, Bronny James dealership.
No, tear down the Karl Malone statue and put up a Bronny.
Yes, Bronny.
Basketball in one hand, Mormon Bible in the other. It's going to be so lit up.
Magic pajamas on.
All right, play us out, Eric. We got to be done, bro. Play us out.
All right. That's the casual and the diehards. Literally just the NBA is pointless and useless and bad. But it was fun to talk about it with these folks. And
I'm gonna learn how to edit video because of this episode. And I love that.
We'll be back next week or the week after. I know how to edit video. I'm just lazy. Until next time. Peace out.
Peace.